reading from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." He got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So in my personal faith journey, I try to do this, but sometimes I forget. I try to reflect again and again on the gospel, because this is where my whole faith is based on. And through that, there's a lot of different, I guess, facets of how you view it, of how you reflect upon it, and how it affects your life and my life. And so actually, let's go read the next passage first, and then I'll come back. So the passage I'm going to read from is in Matthew 27. This is when Jesus was crucified and he was already on the cross. Matthew 27, verse 45, all the way to 54. "Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And this ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, 'Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were open, and many bodies of the saint who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs under his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" And so that was just a small part of the whole account of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so for me, as I was reflecting and as I was thinking, today specifically I want to talk about how in verse 51, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and how what Jesus' death has accomplished and how we're to react or put into action what we're supposed to do after. And so I'm pretty sure most of you know that the veil is something is very symbolic, or else why else would it be suddenly mentioned in this passage where Jesus is in one place and then suddenly the cutscene, like a movie, you see the veil being torn into two. It's very it's significant in that the veil of the temple is something that is, so as we enter the temple, there's this the sanctuary, and then there's a veil, and this behind this veil is the Holy of Holies. And so in Jewish custom, or as the temple was built, what this was is that beyond that or behind that veil is a place where nobody could enter except for the high priest on certain days. And so it is a place where it's said that God's spirit resided in. And so like people, nobody was ever able, because of our sin and all the things that we have, that we're not able to go in, because it's such a pure, holy place that even a little bit will cause people to die. And so we can see that in Hebrews chapter 9, where it says in verse, I'll read verses 1 to 4. So now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was the second section called the most holy place, having a golden altar of incense in the Ark Covenant covered in all sides of gold, in which was the golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. And so these places, the explanation where, this is in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 9, but in the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. This indicates, like from these verses, we see that this place, even the high priest can go in only once a year, and after the sacrifice that he has to make for the sin that we all have. And so the veil tearing from top to bottom into two the veil is torn in two, so we're separated from God or something. But actually, it tearing into two is just opening the Holy of Holies. And now, because of Jesus' death, we have direct access to God. And how is that? Because we're all sinners, right? But because of Jesus' death, we see in verse 50 of Matthew chapter 27, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. At that moment, when he yielded up his spirit, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That exact time when Jesus died for us, we got direct access to God. And so this is basically, to me, I feel like this is where our whole religion, our whole belief system, our whole faith is based on. It is the gospel. It is the fact that we were all sinners. We do not have direct access to God. We are separated from God when we go through our, like when we were, like for me, when I was getting introduced to Christianity, when my parents were teaching me about it, we know, maybe you guys have heard of the five different colors, where it's black, red, white, green, gold, green. There might be different ways of where they're put. So black signifying sin, where we're separated from Jesus, and then red signifying Jesus' death, where we were forgive of our sins, that's why we become white, and then gold is in his glory, and green is our continual growth as a Christian. Or maybe you've heard of where a chart was drawn, where we're on this side, and then God is on the other side, and there's a gap in between, and that can only be filled with the cross that is Jesus. This is our whole faith, where why are we Christians? Because Jesus died for us. Why are we Christians? If Jesus didn't die for us, it's not possible, because our faith is based around this fact that we were sinners, we cannot have direct access to God, but because of Jesus' death, we are able to come into this completion, our original relationship with God, which was face to face. And so, going back to Matthew chapter 9, this was before Jesus' death, obviously, on earth. Before all this, we find out why Jesus has came. And I think this reflection for me, this was a verse that was brought up yesterday at my house church. This was prepared after. Now, my original, I was just going to share about the gospel, but then now, after reading this part, when one of my house church members shared about this, I felt this is really important to us, especially personally, because I've been a Christian for a while, and then sometimes I tend to get complacent, especially for us who have been calling ourselves Christians for a while, or those that have gotten into this life of Christianity, we tend to forget, why did Jesus come? And so the Pharisees were, as we know, religious leaders at that time. They know all about the religion. They know definitely a lot more about scripture than me or you, because that is their entire life, and they study the scripture so much. And then, so they're definitely very religious people. And then on the other hand, tax collectors, who Jesus was sitting with, tax collectors were viewed terribly because basically they cheat money from their own people. When they collect tax for the rulers, they take their own cut, and then usually, or the common practice as we learn, is that they would take a cut that is pretty big. And so tax collectors were viewed as sinners, and as we see in verse 10, tax collectors and sinners came and dined with Jesus and his disciples. Now to us right now, it might not seem like a shocking thing. It's like, obviously, Jesus came to save those who are sinners, right? Jesus didn't come to hang out with those who are religious. Jesus came to save the sinners. So we're like, okay, obviously Jesus would be sitting with the sinners. But at the time, the Pharisees saw this and we're like, why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? It's a legitimate question at that time, because obviously Jesus was a rabbi, right? Jesus was a teacher. And in common sense knowledge, you don't want to be associating with people who are sinners, right? And so the Pharisees saw and they asked Jesus' disciples, why is he eating and hanging out with all these tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard this, showing that when the Pharisees were asking his disciples, they probably weren't too discreet about it. They probably wanted Jesus to hear. Maybe, I don't know, this is all my purely guess, probably spoke like, hey, why is Jesus eating with all these tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who needs a physician, but those who are sick. Which is common sense. You don't go to a doctor when you're not sick. You don't go, or maybe you go for a checkup, but then when you go to a doctor and you're not sick, they'll be like, oh, why are you here? And so Jesus came to earth to die on the cross, not for those who don't need it, right? Over here, it's quite interesting in looking when we see, why did Jesus choose to say this statement when talking about the tax collectors and sinners? Is he saying that the Pharisees are not sick? Are they healthy? Is Jesus saying, oh, I'm not hanging with you guys because you guys still need to be saved? I don't think so. I think Jesus was also targeting their point of view, because the Pharisees obviously saw themselves as righteous. Because if they didn't see themselves as righteous, they wouldn't say, oh, Jesus, why are you hanging with the sinners, right? They're making a separate distinction. They're saying, those are the sinners, and obviously we're the not sinners. So Jesus was talking to them. He's like, those who need to go to a doctor are those who are sick, and I am here for them. And more importantly, verse 13, go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is something that the Jews did at that time to... basically, it's like their prayer for either forgiveness or celebration. Over here, in the context speaking of those sinners and debt collectors, I'm thinking Jesus is probably referring to the sacrifice for forgiveness, right? And so Jesus is talking about how he's desiring compassion and not sacrifice. Now, and when we, like we just said, sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins, and it's a big deal. You basically have to either get your own, if you're a farmer, get your own stock, which is like worth the most, and kill it, or you have to buy it. And sacrifice is a big deal in the Jewish customs and culture at that time. And sacrifice is something that is like, oh, this is so important. Like we talked about just now, for the high priest to go into the holies of holies for that one time in the entire year, he has to sacrifice first. But Jesus is talking about sacrifice here as if it's a second thing to be thought of. And the first thing is actually compassion. Now in the Bible, this is not the first time that we see sacrifice being not being put as the most important. We see it when Saul was sacrificing his, what he was told specifically that only he should wait for Samuel, but he did his own sacrifices and all that. God wasn't looking for the sacrifices, but obedience over there, right? And then this is another time where we see sacrifice is being trumped by another thing where Jesus says, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. Sacrificing is also a ritual that they did, and usually people, well, not usually, I wouldn't say usually, but over here, in the immediate context when Jesus said, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners, we see that he's comparing the sacrifice with the righteous, because obviously the righteous people would want to naturally go sacrifice, and once they're sacrificed, it's part of their religious ritual, and then once they're sacrificed, they're righteous in the sense because of their sins were forgiven because of their sacrifice. But Jesus came in, he said, I desire compassion. Why did he use compassion for sinners? Why did he use the word compassion for sinners? Well, because we all need compassion, right? We all need this compassion as sinners. I know for myself that when I am in a dark place, when I am a sinner, well, I am a sinner, when I am wallowing in sin, it's really hard to get away from that hole if people were looking at me and pointing at me and saying, you're a sinner. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be sinning. But rather, what could or what would draw me out of the hole rather is when people would be like, hey, we're all sinners. I feel you. I know. I have compassion. That's when they show compassion, when they show empathy, when they show that they understand where I'm at. Then I'll feel personally. I'm like, okay, I know I'm a sinner, but maybe it's not that bad where, well, the sin is still bad, but it's not that bad where I won't be, where I cannot ever be forgiven, or that where nobody would understand me, oh, I've done this thing that is so bad, or it's like I'm alone in this. But when compassion is shown or when empathy is shown, that is when I can open up, I can ask for forgiveness, I can confront the sin. So Jesus, when he came to die for us, he came for the sinners. And we all know that we are all sinners. Nobody over here, nobody in this world right now can be considered righteous enough to see God face to face without Jesus, right? And Jesus came specifically to those who are sick. And we need this compassion for our fellow sick people when we interact. And so, as Wes comes and leads worship, so let's reflect on the gospel again. Why did Jesus come? He came for us. He came so that the sick could be healed, so that he came for not the righteous, but he came for the sinners. And so as our response to those around us where we see sin, or when we see people struggling, how are we reacting to them? How are we approaching them? And I think Jesus very clearly states here in verses 13, he says, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. He does not need a ritual. He does not need someone to just do things, but we gotta understand, and then we gotta point them to Jesus. because it is only through Jesus' death that the veil was torn and that we have direct access to God.
Can separate Simple truth, this good news that we are no longer sinners, that Lord, you came for us, Lord, that we were sick, but you, the good doctor, have come and healed us. Lord, now help us live like what we're supposed to be. Lord, help us live like saints. Help us live righteously. Help us be able to have compassion to those who have not yet known you, Lord, and show compassion to them. Because we were in the same place, Lord, we just ask that through this compassion that we can point them to you, to your death and your resurrection, to this simple gospel, Lord. Lord, we love you. So let us go to our community prayers. Let us pray for those battling cancer, undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Salvation. Let's pray that you'll be healed and get to see Jesus. Well, meet Jesus.
pray for those in our community with infirmities. Let's pray for healing. Jobs. SG, Singapore, SP Indonesia, SPIN, SPIL, SP Philippines, their leaders, PSM Kim, PSLAMA, and PRNI. SPU. Ministries, IP, the well, river. Thank you.
Let's pray for our evening outreaches. SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Pregnancies in our church, Kathleen, Eunice, Elaine, Jade, and others. Church's meeting tonight, Cullen and West, East Bay, Olympic, and Robin Hood. Forget the simple gospel, what you did for us on the cross, and to never forget that we have now direct access and that the Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go and whenever. Lord, we just thank you for that. I just pray that you be with us, and that as you speak to us, that we would listen. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.